Well, glory to God, saints of God. You have your Bibles or your device. You can have your seats. Turn to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, if you will. Praise God. How many came to hear the word of the Lord tonight? How many believe God's got something for you on a Sunday night? Two people believe God's got something for them on a Sunday night. Let me ask again. How many people believe God got something for you? Amen. Praise God. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. The question is not, does God have something for you? The question is, are you going to receive it?
Amen.
Amen. God got something for you. Question is, are you going to receive it? You know, we've had a whole week of wonderful meetings, awesome meetings, and man, this is a faithful crowd. When the crowd that come to church on Sunday night, boy, there's some faithful folk there. Because you can feel, you know, after all the meetings, you know, you'd be a little tired and your flesh, you'd be like the man who told his wife he wasn't going to church. He said, I'm not going to church. I've been to church so much so lately, I ain't going to church. I ain't going. And he said, I ain't going. I'm staying home. And he told her, he said, just give me one good, give me one reason why I should go to that church tonight. And she said, well, number one, you the pastor. Oh, yes, the pastor should go to church. Hey, tonight, you are going to have to decide whose report will you believe? That's the title of this message. Whose report will you believe? Will you help me with that title tonight? Look at somebody and tell them, whose report will you believe? Yeah, you're in Exodus 15, but you know, over in Isaiah 53, God asked that question. He said, who has believed our report? Who's going to believe it? I've given the report. Who's going to believe the report? We've heard the good report of the Lord all week long. And I tell you, if you haven't been able to get in on these meetings all week, then guess what? There is MP3 and digitally. You can get access to those meetings, or whether it was CD, however you listen, whatever you DVD, whatever you do. Hey, you need to make sure you avail yourself of these camp meeting messages. If you were able to get in on the messages, you still need them, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? By the word of God. And if you weren't able to get in, that's okay. You better get those messages, because they will feed you and help you and strengthen you, and God will guide you and direct you. You need to get those messages. Amen. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen on a Sunday night. You're going to have to decide, whose report will you believe? You know, this week it's been like being on a mountaintop. Isn't it always glorious when you're up on the mountaintop? I mean, on the mountain, the mountaintop is just a glorious place. You know, you just wish you could just live on the mountaintop. On the mountain, you know, on the mountain, the air is fresh and clean. The air is a lot thinner up there on the mountaintop. There's not very much humidity. The higher you go in elevation, the less humidity there is on the mountaintop. And, you know, you get up there and there are some snakes depending on their environment, but most snakes don't even, the higher you go, the less you'll find snakes involved on the mountain. There's some snakes that are exceptions, But what are you saying? I'm saying, boy, when you're up there praising God and worshiping God and hearing the mighty word all week at camp meeting, it's like being on the mountain, and that old snake slew foot, the devil, he has stayed down on the valley waiting on you and I. But it doesn't matter. You know why? He's a defeated foe. He's already been defeated. We're not trying to get any victory over him. Aren't you glad our champion, the Lord Jesus, already put him underfoot? He already defeated him. Glory to God. Aren't you glad about that? And so life on the mountain is a wonderful thing. But then comes Monday morning and we have to go back to work and we have to get back to our routines and whatever you interrupted your routine to attend camp meeting. Hey, Exodus 15 at verse 22. Exodus 15:22. Man, Israel was coming off of a mountaintop of an experience. It was like they had been to camp meeting, except their camp meeting was the Lord brought them out of Egypt. Yes, he did. And he caused those plagues to come. He told Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh wouldn't let him go. And you remember that story? 10 plagues hit Egypt. And the children of Israel, they were marching out of Egypt. And oh, and chapter 15, the first part, oh, how they praised God. I mean, they had a Holy Ghost dance, a Holy Ghost shout. I mean, they shouted and praised God in the first part of Exodus chapter 15. And then we get to 22 where we're going to read. I'm going to read these six verses, Exodus 15, 22 through 27. I'm reading from New American Standard. Are you ready? All right. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And therefore it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw it in the water, and the waters became sweet. And there he made for them a statute and a regulation. And there he tested them. And he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. And then he came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. You know, it's so interesting as you read this story, because I always like to say it like this. You know, the first day, everybody was cool. When they came across out of the Red Sea and they were dancing and shouting, it was an obvious time to praise God. It was just like being at camp meeting. There was a shout in everybody's voice. There was a pep in everybody's step, and everybody was excited about the hand of God, and God was moving upon every individual, and they were excited about camp meeting. God had delivered the people. And then when they got over into the desert, I always say it like this. The first day, you know, it's hot in the desert. How many know this? It's hot in the desert. And you're talking about 2.5 million people. You say, how you know 2.5 million people? You know, keep your finger there. If you go back to Exodus 12, it tells us right there in Exodus 12:35. Look at that. Now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they had requested from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor. Everybody say, the Lord had given the people favor. Yeah. The Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have their request. And thus they plundered the Egyptians. Now look at 37. Now the sons of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, aside from children. So they're counting foot soldiers. They're counting men in boots. They're not counting women. They're not counting children. And we know that Israel had 600,000 men that were soldiers, and not counting women and children. And so if you add in their wives statistically and add in their children statistically, you're talking about 2.5 million people, somewhere between 2 and 2.5 million people. What's your point, preacher? Well, that's a whole lot of water to have to provide. God led 2.5 million people right smack dab into the middle of a desert. But I'll tell you this, where God leads us, he can provide for us. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Wherever God leads us, he'll provide for us. Amen. There's no place God can lead you that his provision won't meet you. There's always a place called there. And so, you know, the 2.5 million people with water, go back to Exodus 15, you know, they need water. You know, you can live a few days without food, but you can't live very long without water. Water is essential. How many know our bodies are 75% water. Our brain is 85% water. Water does matter. You can't live without water. And now 2.5 million people in a desert. So the first day, you know, they came across the, you know, they came out of Egypt. They came across the Red Sea. Glory to God. All the Egyptians drowned in the sea. And now, you know, the first day, I'm sure they said, oh, it's hot in this desert, but glory be to God. There go Pastor Moses. Boy, didn't he lead us. Wasn't God good? Isn't God good? Didn't God? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? You know he'll do it. God is good. Even when we can't see it, he's working. Even though we can't feel it, he's working. God is a good God. Didn't he bring us through? Didn't we see those Egyptians drown? Oh, God brought us through on dry ground. First day. Second day, I'm sure they said, ooh, it's hot out here now. Ooh, ooh. Did somebody get the bottled water? Did somebody call? I know we got a contract with the Dasani Water Company or somebody, you know, somebody supposed to bring us. Ooh, where's the water? They didn't provide no water? Ooh, anybody got water? Ooh, I don't know. This is a good plan. Yeah, that's good. God is good. That is, whew, but we're going to need some water. I don't know. But, you know, God is good. We're going to need some water. Whew. Can we get a water fountain in the desert? Third day. It's flat out hot. I don't want to hear nothing about no word, nothing. We need some water. And the Bible says they began to grumble and they began to complain. And they began to doubt and the very God who had brought them out of Egypt. God was warning them to trust him right in the middle of their circumstance, right in the middle of the most adverse conditions. Who would lead 2.5 million people to a desert? Only God can do that. I said, only God can do that. And if God could provide for all 2.5 million of them, guess what? God can provide for you. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. You know, if you look over at Psalm 106, look over at Psalm 106. God's such an awesome God. You're talking about 2.5 million people, and God led them and provided for them. And in Psalm 106, have you read verse 37 of Psalm 106? Now remember, we're talking about 2.5 million people. It says, then he bought them out with silver and gold. Well, we just read that in Exodus 12. I read that. That's where they asked the Egyptians. God told them, ask the Egyptians for silver and gold. And they're not going to give it to you because you're so good, because of your education, because you sound so good, or you look so cute. God said, they're going to give it to you because I'm going to put my favor upon you like a shield. And when you ask them, my favor will be on you. And they're going to do for you what they would not normally do. And it's not you, it's my favor on you. Can I get an amen there? I said, because that same favor is on you right now tonight. Can't get a big enough amen. I said, that same favor is on you. God put his favor on you. He's just waiting for you to believe it. The question is not, is his favor on you, my brother and sister? The question is, will you believe it? I said, God put his favor on you. And so it said he bought them out. Psalm 106, verse 37. He bought them out with silver and gold. And among his tribes, there was not one who stumbled. Oh, man. Read that in the Passion Translation, some of the other translations. You know what that means? It means there wasn't one who stumbled because of being feeble. There wasn't one who stumbled because they were sick. In other words, all 2.5 million people, you got to understand, and 2.5 million people, you got a crowd of 2.5 million people, you got a percentage of that crowd that's sick, that's too weak to travel. God healed all 2.5 million of them. All 2.5 million of them marched out blessed with the favor of God on them, with the gold and the silver. They marched out healed, which was the will of God for them. It's the will of God for you. Amen. And so not one of them was feeble. Not one of them was too weak to go. Not one of them was too weak to journey. Not one of them was sick. He healed them all as they came out of there. Glory be to God. God took care of 2.5 million people like that. Sometimes we reduce our Father. We try to put him into our box, which has limitations and, limited viewpoints and perspectives, our little nice square box. God don't fit in anybody's box. Amen. I said, he's bigger than that. Amen. I said, he's the God who's more than enough. Amen. I said, he's the God who can do more than what you're thinking, more than what you're asking. Amen. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Amen. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that's working in you. Ephesians 3:20, amen. I said, he's an awesome God. And he's the God who's more than enough. But you know, Israel's problem is revealed right over there in the next chapter. You were in Psalm 105, right? Did I tell you 106? Forgive me, I quoted it wrong because I got 105 and 106 open in my Bible. The scripture we just read was 105, verse 37. Does that make more sense? He said, Pastor Building wrote his own Bible. He quoting his own scripture. Bless him, Lord. No, it's right there in the Bible. Psalm 105, verse 37. He bought them out with silver and gold. And among his tribes, there was not one who stumbled. Okay, not one who was feeble. That's Psalm 105, verse 37. Forgive a preacher. And now, but their problem is clearly revealed in the next chapter, Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verse 11 through 14. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. And then they believed his words. They sang his praise. They quickly forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but craved intensely in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Can you see the problem there? God did the miracle. Verse 11, the waters covered their adversaries. Not one of their adversaries was left. But verse 12, then they believed his words. Then they sang his praises. They waited for God to do the miracle before they trusted him. They waited before they entered into faith. They had the Thomas kind of faith. I'm going to wait till I see it. I'll wait till I see it before I believe it. I'm not going to believe it till I see it. Let me tell you something, my brother and sister. The things of God come to you and I by faith. And we're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. Israel's problem, they kept trying to walk by sight instead of walking by faith. They kept trying to see it first. God, I'll believe it when you, the Bible says they prayed. Oh, and they did. They had a Holy Ghost party. When they saw the Red Sea part and they saw the Egyptians drown in that water and they realized God had done the miraculous, they had a Holy Ghost party. But let me tell you this, you're going to have your Holy Ghost party before your answer shows up in manifestation. I wish a preacher could get a bigger amen there. I said, and where the enemy will challenge you and I, He's not going to challenge the experience we've had at camp meeting. It stands by itself. And the enemy would be foolish to challenge that. He's foolish anyway. He's a liar. But he is a liar. He's the father of lies. And he will come against you in this area and try and get you to check and use your senses and see and try and get you out of the realm of faith. But if you'll stay in the arena of faith, there's no devil in hell who can stop the blessings of God from flowing to you and I. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. And so they were blessed. God blessed his people. And Exodus tells us that when they needed water, oh man, they just they started grumbling. You know what they should have been doing? They should have been dancing. They should have been praising God. When they told them the light bill is due, they should have been praising God. When they told them, you know, the end of the month is coming and the rent is due, they should have been praising God. When somebody told them, you know, September's coming and your tuition's going to be due, they should have been praising God. I said, we walk by faith, not by sight. And their problem was they waited till, well, I'm going to wait till I see it. If God does it, then I'll pray. I'm waiting. What you waiting on? I'm waiting to pray. I'm waiting to praise God. I'm waiting till I see it. That's Thomas kind of faith. Right. You'll never receive. My brother and sister, God wants to do so much for you and I. And he's revealed that. In weeks like this week, he reveals and speaks to hearts corporately, but he also speaks to hearts individually. And there are things that God has said to you. There are things that God's laid in your heart. There are things that God has spoken to you nobody knows about but you and God. And yet for those things to come to pass, you're going to have to handle it differently than Israel. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us, look, verse 3, we've got to be different. We've got to use Israel as an example because the things that they experienced with God are examples for you and I. In other words, there are some things they did, we can't follow that example. There's some things they did. We've got to have a different example. And so when they ran short on water, man, they just fell apart in their faith. And sometimes when Christians leave camp meeting, it's like you're on cloud nine and woo, glory to God. And oh man, everything is glorious. You know, Mike Tyson was he was heavyweight champion of the world for a long time. He was a feared boxer. He dominated boxing for so long. They asked Mike Tyson one time about his opponent's strategy in the ring. And Mike Tyson said this. He said, they said, well, your opponent has a plan. Your opponent's going to do this. Your opponent's going to do that. Your opponent's going to do that. And then Mike Tyson said, well, basically everybody has a plan until you punch them in the mouth. That's the closest Tyson I can get. But he said people come to the ring with a plan, then he punches them in the mouth, then they don't have a plan no more. But the enemy will try that okey-doke with you and I. And just because you face a challenge, just because the enemy challenges you, let me tell you, that's when you have to stand your ground. And so, listen, you're going to have to stand your ground. You're going to have to build yourself up, and you're going to have to keep the switch of faith turned on. And in our remaining time tonight, I want to talk about those three things. Stand your ground. Build yourself up. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Stand your ground. We've been at camp meeting now. Okay, but now coming down from the mountain, we're going to have to stand our ground. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Stand your ground. Build yourself up. Keep the switch of faith turned on. I want to use these remaining moments to talk about that. Stand your ground. Build yourself up. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Got over meditating in the Word, and those three things just stood out to us as we were praying about what to share, asking the Lord, what do we share with your people? What would you say? Just want to be used of you. Just want you to be glorified. Those three things just seem to be impressed. Stand your ground. Build yourself up. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Stand your ground. Here in Ephesians 6, I want to draw your attention especially to verse 10 and verse 13. Verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Listen, one thing we need to remember as we stand firm against the schemes of the devil, the first thing we need to remember, he's a defeated foe. We're not standing firm against him because we're trying to gain any victory. The victory's already been won. That's already been decided. I said the trophy's already been handed out. Our champion, the Lord Jesus, already conquered him. Satan is a defeated foe. And aren't you glad about it? That Jesus, he gave us his authority. Glory be to God. So Matthew 28, 18, 19, 20, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go therefore with my authority. He gave his authority to the church. I wish I had a bigger amen. Okay, Luke 10, 19, behold, I give you a power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I said, Satan's a defeated foe. Jesus took that authority and gave it straight to you and I, blood-bought, blood-washed believers. Aren't you glad about it? Praise God. So we don't have to put up with Satan's tyranny. We don't have to put up with the devil trying to harm us in any way. We're blood bought. We're redeemed. We're exempt from Satan. Glory be to God. Amen. But we do have to stand our ground. We have to stand on the ground that Jesus has already won. He put Satan under his foot, put his foot on Satan's neck, and said, now you come here. Then said, put your foot on his neck. Said, I've given you the same authority. That's why I want you to use, I want you to use my name, I want you to use my word, I want you to plead the blood. I said, amen. Going to have to stand our ground. And so the Bible says that way, you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Well, he doesn't have any new tricks, but he does have schemes. He does have tricks. And they all begin this way, with a lie. They all begin this way, with him coming to you and lying to you. He's going to lie to you about something God's already done for you that he doesn't want you to exercise faith in. And so he's going to come to you and lie to you. You say, how do you know that? If you read over in John 8, 44, Jesus said about Satan. Jesus said, Satan, he's a liar. Jesus said about Satan, he's the father of lies. Jesus said it's in his nature. All he can do is lie. I said, amen. He's a liar. And so what are his schemes? His schemes begin with a lie that he tells you and I. Jesus has made us righteous. He'll lie to you and try and make you say, well, you know, you're not righteous. Somebody just get born again. He'll lie to him and say, you know what? You're not born again. God's doing something in you and healing you. And he'll lie to you and say, oh, no, you're not healed. Didn't you feel that? You didn't feel that pain last night? You're not healed. He'll tell you something. He'll lie to you. But like that song, to the enemy's lie, it is written, she cried over and over again. You know that old David Engel song? To the enemy's lie, it is written, she cried over and over again. We have to be like that. What's that talking about? Matthew chapter 4. I said Matthew chapter 4. Look over there with me. We're going to have to stand our ground. Hey, we've been at camp meeting all week, but you know what? Now it's time to stand our ground. What good would it make to be up here on the mountain and then come back and then give away all the ground? Listen, God has blessed you. God's helped you. God's spoken to you. God's encouraged you. God's lifted you up. God's strengthened you. God's healed you. I said, amen. And what sense would it be for us to come and give one inch of ground to Satan? But it doesn't mean that we're not going to face challenges. Oh, but for every challenge God's already given us, he's already given us a promise from the book. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. He's given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the lust that's in the world. So we've got precious promises. So he said, listen, if we put on the full armor of God, what are we going to be able to do? Stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Look at verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the devil in the evil day, having done everything to stand. Now look at Matthew 4, Matthew chapter 4. We have to stand our ground. Praise God. And Jesus, in dealing with the devil, he showed us exactly how to do it. Matthew 4, verse 4, verse 7, verse 10. In every one of those instances, Jesus did not debate with Satan. He did not get into theological, philosophical discussions with Satan. Jesus said this to him, "It is written." He said, "It is written." How do we stand our ground? It is written. And when the enemy comes to you on tomorrow morning and tries to tell you something's not true, that God's already said is true, you need to tell him, "It is written." Don't get into debates with him. Don't get into discussions with him. You need to tell him, "It is written." Just like God, just like the Lord Jesus showed the importance and the power of the word here in Matthew, stand your ground. Secondly, build yourself up. Build yourself up. Go with me to Jude 20. Jude 20. Go to the book of Revelations and then turn back to the left there. In Jude 20, you're going to have to stand your ground. Stand your ground. You know what Jude 20 says? "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God." Let me tell you, after this time at camp meeting, hey, we've got to stand our ground. If we're going to be successful, walk in the blessing, walk in the blessing. Let's not make Israel's mistake. They had the blessing. They wouldn't walk in it. They had the blessing. God was waiting for them to just walk in it. He was waiting for them to just trust him. Every time they experienced a shortage or a difficulty, they grumbled, they complained, they got right out of faith. Every time something was presented against their faith, they just got right out of faith. They got into the arena of the flesh. They grumbled, they complained over and over again. But our God, he's a God who can make a way out of no way. But one of the things we're going to have to do is keep ourselves built up. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. I said, it's not God's responsibility to keep us built up. It's our responsibility to keep ourselves built up. So what's your routine, my brother and sister? I don't know. Whatever it is, sometimes we just have to turn off gun smoke. Just Google that, Google that. No, listen, whatever it is, listen, spend time in the presence of the Father. The Bible says here, building ourselves up. How do we do that? One way we do it, not the only way. One way we build ourselves up is taking time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Take time, build yourself up, pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh man, as you face challenges and pressures of life, when you pray in the Spirit, you will build yourself up. 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Build yourself up. First, you're going to have to stand your ground, but next, you're going to have to build yourself up. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. We're talking about building yourself up. Oh man. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak unto men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. Oh, the power of praying in the Holy Ghost. Set aside time, my brother and sister. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Build yourself up. That word build means charge, like a battery would be charged there in Jude 20. Here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, that word at the end of there, he speaks mysteries. That can be translated answers. In other words, when we pray in the Spirit, sometimes what we're doing, not always, but sometimes what we're doing is we're praying out answers. We're praying out answers sometimes. Yeah. Take time. Stand your ground. Build yourself up. And then keep the switch of faith turned on. Finally, keep the switch of faith turned on. If you'll keep the switch of faith turned on, I tell you, the Lord, he'll show you exactly how to handle the enemy's distractions. Go with me this time to Luke, finally, Luke. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Stand your ground. Build yourself up. Keep the switch of faith turned on. That's what we're talking about now. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Luke 8, 40. As Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him, touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Jesus said, "Who is the one who touched me?" While they were all denying it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling, fell down before him, and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." 49, while he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, "Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But when Jesus heard this, he answered him, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she'll be made well." And when he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except for Peter and John and James, the girl's father and mother. Now they were all weeping and lamenting for her. But he said, "Stop weeping, for she has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. However, he took her by the hand and called her, saying, "Child, arise." Her spirit returned. She got up immediately. He gave orders for something to be given to her to eat. Her parents were amazed, and he instructed them not to tell what had happened. Jairus had a choice at the moment when someone said, "Your daughter's already died. Don't you trouble the master anymore." And there'll be situations that arise, my brother and sister, in your life and my life, where it seems like, well, the enemy will try and get you to stop believing. But one aspect of our victory is we have to keep the switch of faith turned on. And that means even when you don't feel it, even when you can't see it, he's working. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Even when you don't know it, he's working. Our last scripture tonight is going to come from the Psalms. And in Psalm 77, verse 19. What are we talking about now, Brother Bill? We're talking about keep the switch of faith turned on. You know why? Because you can't see everything God can see. And you don't know everything that God knows. Is that a revelation to anybody? That might be a revelation to some of our big-headed folk. Listen, we can't see everything he can see. We don't know everything he knows. You have to keep the switch of faith turned on, especially when you can't see it. Where did I tell you to go? Psalm 77? This is our last scripture tonight. Are you ready? Psalm 77, verse 19. Your way, the psalmist says, was in the sea, and your paths in the mighty waters, and your footprints may not be known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I like it better in the New Living Translation, where that same scripture, Psalm 77, verse 19, it says this. It says, your road, in other words, the psalmist is talking to God, your road led through the sea. Think about that for a moment. He's saying, God, your road, the road you built, led straight through the sea. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway that no one knew was there. In other words, God knew what he was doing. The people couldn't see what God was doing. And God led them down the road. And Pharaoh was, remember that story? Pharaoh is chasing them. And then on one side of them, they've got jagged mountains, too rough to cross. They can't go left. 2.5 million people. On the other side, there are jagged mountains, too rough to cross. And the road kind of zigzags down right to the sea. It looks like an idiotic plan. And the people, when they saw, we're trapped. Pharaoh is coming. We can't go left. We can't go right. There's a sea in front of us. Whose stupid plan was this? Oh, but the psalmist said, your road led right through the sea, a pathway nobody knew was there. My brother and sister, you have to keep the switch of faith turned on, because you can't see, hey, what he can see. And God can see. He can open doors for you that no man can close. He can open a window, pour you out a blessing. There's not room enough for you to receive it. But we have to stand our ground. We have to keep ourselves built up. And we have to keep the switch of faith turned on. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Thank you for the encouragement, the strength of the Holy Scriptures. The Scriptures are alive. And we thank you for the power of your word, the power of your Holy Spirit. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're watching here in this live service or you're watching either some other venue, my question to you is, have you ever been born again? Have you ever taken the time to personally know Jesus as your Savior and Lord? If not, I just want you to bow your head and repeat this prayer. Let's everybody say it together. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me. I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that he bore my sins on the cross. He paid the penalty for my sins. And I accept your offer of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. So come into my heart, Jesus. Forgive my sins and make me the man or woman you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, if you prayed that prayer with me, we want you to write into partnerservice@rhema.org. Email us partnerservice@rhema.org. Let us know. If you're in this live service and you prayed that prayer with me for the first time, or if you even want to rededicate your life to the Lord, let one of our ushers know. We'll give you some information. We love you, and we're so glad that you came tonight and so glad that you tuned in, my brother and sister. As we depart this camp meeting week, stand your ground. Keep yourself built up. Keep the switch of faith turned on. All right. Anything else we need to share? Okay. Well, be here Wednesday for Hour of Power, a mighty word from heaven, and you will be blessed. Thank you again for coming out on Sunday night. We love every one of you, and we thank you for being here. God bless you, one and all.